This particular bear was hit on Highway 93 north of Missoula last June. It's a large boar grizzly, and the hair on it is its summer hair. It shed out most of its winter hair. I was grooming the face and the hump hair out on it to make that stand out a little bit more. What Chuck is doing with the Be Bear Aware campaign, he wanted a specimen that could represent the species well. And this bear does represent it well. Its coloration, size, the length of its claws. It's got a big head on it.
And there were little individual patches and such that you noticed. For instance, on his right hindquarters here, you pointed that out.
Yeah, there's some rubbing that goes on with bears as the weather gets warmer. Probably a product of the bear getting warm and of bugs. What they do is they'll rub those areas where they itch, and it breaks the hairs off.
And his coloration is a little darker than, I'm not a hunter, I'm not an outdoorsman, but the coloration looks a little darker than what I'd expect. I expect brown bear more.
I think this bear probably is a little bit darker. It does have some of the silver tip or gold tipping that is real classic of grizzly bears. But again, as they rub those tips off, they'll also appear darker because you're seeing a lot of their under fur.
How long does it take to put this together?
You know, this bear was hit on the highway last June. We got it back from the tannery last fall. And then we've just been coordinating with U.S. Fish and Wildlife out of Washington to get it put together. And Be Bear Aware campaign or program partners with the United Taxidermists Association, which is an international taxidermy association that is focused on education. So what we do is we get a group of taxidermists together to mount these specimens as an educational seminar. You know, getting that put together with some people took a little bit of time. We also had Troop 60 from Missoula, the Boy Scouts, help put this together. So, you know, it's all about the education, and it was great to get a bunch of Boy Scouts together so they could work on the project.
So, Dale, I do have one more question, and that is his posturing. It looks like, well, maybe he's walking up a hill or something. You didn't put him in an aggressive stance on his hind legs with his muzzle snarling or anything. How do you decide what position to put him in?
It's actually a fairly popular position as far as forms that are sculpted on the market, and the program also has a black bear mounted in this same position. So what they wanted to have us do is mount the grizzly bear in a similar position so that a comparison could be made on size and everything else. So.
Chuck Bartlebaum is director of the Be Bear Aware campaign. Jamie Jonkel is a wildlife biologist with the Montana Department of Fish, Wildlife, and Parks.
Yeah, I mean, this is just a wonderful education venue. I mean, the trailer itself attracts people. We've had it parked alongside the road, and people have actually stopped and, you know, pulled over, read all the materials on the outside, asked Chuck to open it up, look at the bears. And when we have this at the school programs and the various, you know, community bear fairs, it's the draw. It's what gets people away from, you know, the band or across the street from the gas station to come over and see what's going on. And at that time, we can educate them about bears and what bears are doing in the community and why it's so important to carry bear spray and where bears are showing up in western Montana. So it's a wonderful tool.
Why is this important? Why do we need to know this stuff?
Well, you know, sadly, we've got a lot of people living in Montana now that are from other states, and it happens over and over again where someone will move in. They're living in a rural area, and they're sort of pretending or acting like they're living in a community. And they have all these attractants outside, like garbage cans, bird feeders. And that's the first thing that sucks bears into residential sites. And sadly, it's these residential attractants that are pretty much the driving force for mortality on black bears and grizzly bears. And so it's a wonderful tool to teach people how to live on the landscape without sucking every bear in the country into their residential site. So that's my main reason for using this trailer, because we lose so many bears every year to pointless management actions.
And unfortunately, there's a large amount of media coverage on some TV shows, magazine, and book articles that promote getting close to, feeding, interacting with, and these are extremely inappropriate and can lead to dangerous situations for others. Best example of that in recent years is Timothy Treadwell, who was killed up at Katmai doing inappropriate things around bears. And this is an effort to let the public know, no, you need to respect their space. And bears want the same thing we want, and that is to be left alone and have some distance and go about handling their cubs and feeding without stress. And sometimes people watch TV shows to get the impression it's okay to approach, and that creates problems down the road. Yeah.
And how easy is it to tell the difference between a black bear and a grizzly? When I think of it, I was talking with Dale in there, I think a grizzly has a hump and is lighter colored, and that's pretty much it.
Nope. Color, for instance, is not an indicator. Color can be misleading. Size can be misleading. The black bear in the trailer here is a very large one, well over 400, 500 pounds. And back east, black bears get to 800 pounds. But here we have some large grizzly bears, even in Montana, to go close to 1,000 pounds or more. So size and color doesn't count, but the claws, the facial features, the ears, that all is a clear indicator. A combination of those, especially for hunters, should be considered before they shoot.
Facial features. Black bears a little more...
Well, a narrower face, and they have... a long nose, where grizzly bears have a dish face. Grizzly bears have short, rounded ears. Black bears tend to have tall ears compared to a grizzly bear. And, of course, a grizzly bear has those long claws that some people think are meant for killing, but really they're for digging plants and grubs and stuff like that. And black bears have the short claws, which make them easier to climb trees, but grizzly bears can climb trees, too.
The first thing you should be doing when you're walking out in the woods is paying attention. We get a lot of people just wandering along, you know, looking at the ground, earphones, jogging at dusk and dawn. When you're out in the woods in western Montana, you got to look both ways, just like you're crossing a busy street. People need to be keenly aware of how wild it is here in western Montana. And everyone should be carrying a can of bear spray, too. I mean, there are black bears and grizzly bears around almost every one of our western communities here. So bear spray is a very effective tool, and in many cases much more effective than a firearm.
Why?
Well, if you end up wounding a female grizzly, it will actually enhance the level of the attack. Bear spray seems to be able to shut it right down. It essentially gives you a tool very similar to what skunks have. It shuts them down.
Also, we do have a guest. Would you mind if I ask you a question?
That's okay, if you'd like.
I guess to begin with, what's your name?
My name is Charles Granja, and I'm from Bordeaux, France, from the University of Bordeaux 3.
And what brings you to Montana?
Well, we're on a research project. I come here with two colleagues. One's a linguist, the other one's a geographer. And I myself have a background in American literature, American studies, with a focus in my research on representation of animals in American literature. And so we're, of course, we've identified Montana right now as it being so intensely caught up in some of the issues, delisting of grizzly bear, for example, as a hot spot to come to do our research on conservation strategies here in Montana, and to bring material back to France. So we can have a comparative approach, since we also work with people on the national parks in France.
What are your observations about how animals like grizzly bears are depicted in literature?
Most of the literature we read come from people who are interested, who are, I would even say, passionate about grizzly bears. People like Doug Peacock and Rick Bass. So we get a very engaged kind of literature who tries to, on the one hand, analyze the reasons for the conflicts between the bears and humans, and on the other hand, to sponsor an alternative vision of possible relations between bears and men, in which, of course, humans and bears could coexist peacefully on the same territory.
Very ignorant question. Are there bears in France?
Yes, absolutely, but the situation is not very encouraging. There are about 12 bears left in the French Pyrenees, and there has been a recovery program that has involved bringing bears into France from Slovenia. But I must say that for a variety of reasons, including strong opposition from shepherds, And perhaps also the sense from the local people that this is a program that is sponsored by Paris, a little bit as if here, you know, people felt that this was the federal government coming in to their territory. The program hasn't been very successful.
Huh. 12 bears, black bears?
Black bears, yes. And they are more on the Spanish side of the border because for some reason, and that would take too much time to explain this, Spanish people have had a different attitude to bears, less ferocious, let's say, than the French people on the French side of the Pyrenees.
So on the French side of the Pyrenees, the bears were essentially hunted out?
Yes, ferociously. There is a very, very powerful anti-bear feeling, which is dominant on the French side of the Pyrenees as far as the local people are concerned, who feel that bears are a definite a threat and terrible threat to the pastoral economy, or what is left of the pastoral economy in the French Pyrenees.